Welcome to Mastering Logical Fallacies, the online course. This is the audio version of the online course presented at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. For the complete learning experience, including multimedia presentations, quizzes, assignments, peer-to-peer discussion, instructor interaction, and more, enroll as a student at MasteringLogicalFallacies.com. My name is Beau Bennett, and I am your instructor for this course. Let's talk about the appeal to common belief. Again, a very common fallacy and also one of the many fallacies that could be a fallacious reasoning and could be a fallacy, or sometimes appealing to the common belief is actually a pretty smart thing to do. And let's talk about the difference and why it is a fallacy in one case and why it's not. But before we go into that, let's talk a little bit about advertising and marketing. Because in advertising and marketing, marketers know that this is a very, very powerful driver for consumer behavior. They know that social proof, is what they call it, is incredibly powerful. It means that we as consumers are looking for a reason to buy into what they're saying. And if other people agree with them, that's enough reason for us to jump on that bandwagon. And that is really not the best way to make decisions. But again, it's a heuristic. It's something that we can safely say, yeah, okay, if all these people are doing it, it must be okay. And this isn't always a bad thing. We don't have the cognitive power to carefully analyze and consider every single decision we make. So when it comes to drinking a cola or going to a restaurant or something along those lines, social proof is perfectly acceptable. We go on to Yelp, we look up the ratings, we look what other people said about the restaurant and the feedback, and that's good enough for us. So in that case, we're not talking about fallacious reasoning. We're talking about social proof as a valid way for us to make fairly minor decisions in our lives. And, you know, if we go to a bad restaurant and the ratings were wrong, who cares? It's not a big deal. If the owner of the restaurant managed to pay a whole bunch of his friends to go there and give it great ratings and we got screwed, who cares? It's not a big deal. We lost maybe $20 or we spent $20 or $30 on a bad meal. It's not the end of the world. But what is important is when we look at the same kind of social proof for major life decisions. For example, like what religion to buy into, or if we should buy into religion, what policies that we want to hold, political party we want to go with, major decisions like this that other people are doing, and especially in peer pressure, you know, as for teenagers and for children, because their other friends are doing it. You know, if their other friends are going to the mall or something, again, it's not a big deal, because there's not a lot at stake in this case. So that would not be fallacious. However, if the other kids are, let's say, experimenting with a drug, this could completely destroy their lives. So it is a big deal. From that point, once what you're looking at is important and significant, you need to break out of this heuristic and say, okay, the heuristic that I would normally use in this case of social proof is not good enough. It's not good enough to appeal to the common belief. I need to take the time and look for hard evidence and think about this carefully and be reasonable and be rational, and I have to come to a good conclusion. And that's where we move away from the fallacious reasoning to good reasoning. Now, some people might say, What about wisdom of the crowds? Isn't there some truth in that? And there is. The wisdom of the crowds is a true psychological principle that means, generally speaking, actually, I think it might even be a mathematical principle. But anyway, it's basically saying that the more people that are involved in a decision or that are involved in contributing some information to a possible answer, then you're better off and you're more likely to get that answer. But there's a caveat here. you know, I hear a lot of people using the whole wisdom of the crowds thing incorrectly when it comes to something like believing in ghosts or holding some kind of belief that cannot be known empirically or with any kind of evidence. And that's when the wisdom of the crowd fails miserably. That's when it turns into what's called the mass delusion, which is a psychological principle and is very real. When people, when somebody may have a delusion and other people buy into that delusion, and the more people buy into that delusion, it creates more social proof, and therefore that delusion becomes more and more powerful until it becomes a common belief. And it, you're the crazy one if you don't buy into that mass delusion. So that's where it gets a little bit scary. But the wisdom of the crowds works when it's actual information, and every person in that crowd has an opportunity or a possibility of having factual knowledge that could contribute to the possible answer. So a good example, if I'm sure many people are familiar with the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Now here on the show, one of the lifelines is you poll the audience. And this is a perfect example of where wisdom of the crowd generally works, and most of the time it does work, because these are just facts. These are just facts that you can get from the encyclopedia, or you could Google. Everybody in the audience has the ability to have knowledge of that fact. And the more people are in the audience, the more likely statistically it is that somebody knows the answer to that question. Therefore, the more people that have the right answer, the more people will give the right answer. And you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute, the more people that have the wrong answer will give the wrong answer as well. But statistically, if everybody just guesses at the answer and there's four choices, then it will be 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. Now, statistically, again, with a standard question, that factual question that some people may know, there's going to be many people in that audience that know the answer. And the more people that know the answer, they're going to give the right answer, so that correct answer will be more than the other three answers. And that's how you could basically judge from the wisdom of the crowds. And that's what that means. So there is truth to that. And so if somebody were to say, well, you know what, I asked 100 of my friends what year Napoleon attacked a certain town or village, and based on all their answers, I would say this is the answer. That's not fallacious reasoning. I mean, this day and age is kind of stupid to ask 100 of your friends as opposed to just go on Google and get the answer. But that's not the point. The point is what is actually fallacious when it comes to appealing to common belief and what's not fallacious. So once again, the bottom line is basically that when the belief is based on something that's factual, something that's empirical, something that you could verify, then the wisdom of the crowds does kick in, and there is truth to that, and it's a pretty darn good heuristic to go with the crowd if you do not have the time or the patience, if it's just not that important to you to do the kind of work it's going to take to verify that fact, then go ahead and follow the crowd. That's okay. Again, if it's not that important of an issue. But on something that is important, no matter how many people believe it, no matter how many people stick by it, if there's no good evidential reason for believing that, and you just believe it because they do, you are guilty of appealing to the common belief, and that's fallacious reasoning.